Well, 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 what do we have here? A Fantasy Football Today podcast with Heath Cummings, Chris Towers, coming out on a Saturday. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is interesting. It's not Saturday. We should point that out.
Right, we're doing this on Saturday.
Or Adam Azer will get mad at us. He's not here, even though he's staring right at me.
Right.
He is not on this podcast.
No.
Recording on a Friday, coming out on a Saturday to help you set your FanDuel lineup for Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the reason that it's coming out on a Saturday, there's a couple reasons. One, Saturday's closer to Sunday, so it has the big daily fantasy impact.
That's how the week works.
That makes
sense.
Time
moves forward.
The other thing, though, Chris, let's be honest. Adam and Dave and Jamie did their little football podcast earlier today, and they didn't want to be overshadowed by this monstrosity.
That's true. That's true.
This is going to be...
It's going to set all the records.
Set all the records. You asked me before we got started, are we presented by anyone? I said, not yet, but soon enough, we'll be presented by whoever the largest sponsor of podcasts is. It's going to be coming to us to sponsor this podcast.
I think maybe the president.
I think we should tell people what this podcast is.
I think we kind of already explained it. It is the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast.
DFS podcast. We don't have very much time. We don't get an hour and 15 minutes like the normal football podcast.
No.
We're going to have to do this in 30 to 35 minutes.
So we should definitely keep wasting time.
Yes. So I think what we should do is we're going to group the bottom nine teams by projected points and just see if we want to play anybody.
Okay.
Okay. Bottom nine teams. All these teams projected to score less than 3 touchdowns. Not good. Jacksonville, Houston, Tampa Bay, Oakland, Washington, San Francisco, Cleveland, New York Jets, Detroit. Now, I told people in my article last week, just avoid those teams. You don't need those players. Well, the number one scoring running back, Carlos Hyde, happens to play for one of those teams.
Yep.
The number three scoring quarterback, Marcus Mariota, happens to play for one of those teams. And the number two scoring wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, happens to play for one of those teams. So, who are the studs from this group that you might want to play?
You mentioned two of them.
Okay.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is such a good wide receiver. I don't think it matters who's throwing him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But the better of the two bad options in Houston is probably starting for them this week in Ryan Mount. I think he's good enough to play even when they're projected for nothing. They're going to force feed him. He had a ton of targets last season. He had a ton of targets in week one. I'm not worried about that. And Carlos Hyde... If you want to go with the crowd, because everybody's going to start Carlos Hyde this week. All your friends.
You say that, and that's a perfect transition. We've got data from FanDuel from Thursday night we're going to share with you. It's not being shared anywhere else. Data from the third NFL Snap. They were so popular, they had three of them on Thursday.
Whew.
NFL Snap tournament. These are ownership percentages, and these are extremely useful when you set your tournament lineups on Sunday, because, for example... You said everyone's going to own Carlos Hyde. He was by far and away the highest owned player in this contest. Over 30%. That's absurd.
Yeah.
$7,000. It made me like him more in cash games because I'm afraid to not play him in cash games now. But from a tournament perspective, he doesn't have three times the upside as the guys that are owned 10%.
You look at, like, Marshawn Lynch, 9.3% owned. He's $1,500 more, and he's got a pretty tough matchup in Green Bay, but in a vacuum, you take Marshawn Lynch over Carlos Hyde every day, right?
Oh, right. Yes.
And so I get it. Carlos Hyde had an amazing week one.
Right.
And he's got what looks like a pretty good matchup against the Pittsburgh team that couldn't slow down Deion Lewis in week one.
Well, maybe Deion Lewis is the next Carlos Hyde.
With the New England Patriots, it wouldn't shock me.
Anything is possible. Let's talk about three other running backs from these games before we move on to the games we really want to talk about and we really want to play. Chris Ivory, $6,900. No surprise, he was the third highest owned running back because he was good in week one. That's going to be a theme. We don't want to ignore week one, but do we want to act like Carlos Hyde and Chris Ivory are now top five running backs in the NFL?
Absolutely not. Chris Ivory, definitely not, but I think he's really good. His issue in college, his issue in New Orleans was always staying healthy.
Right.
But when he's been healthy, he's been a very productive runner.
And he's on Monday Night Football against the Colts. Do you like Ivory at this price?
At $6,900, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great... now that I know he's the third highest owned running back, though, if I'm looking at a tournament play, I might try to go with a different lower-priced running back, but... in a vacuum, I think he's got tremendous value.
Let's just get this out there right now. Nobody else is saying avoid these games, apparently, because the fourth highest running back is Ameer Abdullah, a part-time running back, $6,400. I don't know if I like this. I think I'd almost fade him.
He was so electric in week one. And that's, like you said, it's going to be a recurring theme. We're going to react. And it's not just week one with Ameer Abdullah. Coming into the season, he was everyone's, if not the favorite rookie running back, certainly the sexiest non-Todd Gurley pick, right? Right. He was really impressive in the preseason. He impressed in week one. But we're not sure how many touches he's actually going to get.
Right.
And I have trouble paying for a part-time play.
Okay, I put together our DFS rankings on CBSSports.com every week, and I only rank the guys I'm going to play.
Okay.
I'm going to play 100 different lineups this week.
That's a lot of different
lineups. So I'm ranking 15 to 20 running backs. Okay? The number four running back from week one, playing a defense that gave up the third most fantasy points to running backs, was not on my list of running backs I would play in 100 lineups because it's Bishop Sankey, and I just don't believe he's actually good.
You know, I don't think he was really bad last season. And what the most concerning thing is, he got worse as the season went on. It's not right. Like, in for some reason, I was writing about him yesterday, and I thought, you know, maybe he got off to a really bad start, and he kind of got going. He averaged 3.7 yards per carry. It got worse and worse as the season goes on. But the one thing I think is we've seen the kind of impact running quarterbacks have. The read option, the threat of Marcus Mariota tucking the ball in a read option and running opens things up for Bishop Sankey. And he actually was second in the league in week one in yards per carry after contact.
And that may have something to do with the people that were contacting him.
Sure.
I don't think the Browns' run defense is really that bad.
It could be.
I think they're better than Tampa Bay for sure.
I don't know. Does Cleveland have any player as good as Geno Atkins? I think Tampa Bay's got a better linebacking core too.
You know what? I just decided something. We spent 10 minutes talking about the 9 worst offenses in the NFL. I think we should stop. I think we should move over to the offenses that people actually want to play. Now, again, we've talked about some guys that are a little bit cheaper. You're going to need him because these guys are not. The first game, it's the cream of the crop, I think. Philadelphia against Dallas. Philadelphia projected to score 30 points this week by Las Vegas. It's very rare that you see a team with an over-under that high. Which stack do you like better, though? Because a lot of people are going to have the Sam Bradford, J-Matt, even DeMarco Murray. I feel like people are sleeping a little bit on Tony Romo, less than 3% owned on Thursday.
The one thing I'm worried about is this Philadelphia. Well, the Philadelphia defense is very opportunistic. We saw that in week one.
Right.
But no quarterback took care of the ball better than Tony Romo last season. He's got this perception as this interception-prone quarterback.
You say perception with such disdain.
Well, because when it comes to Tony Romo in particular, the perception has never matched up with the reality.
Right.
Tony Romo is an amazing quarterback, and there are people who think he's bad,
right,
and those people are insane. I kind of do think he's an overlooked fantasy option. He has been the last 2 years.
Well, let's talk about under-the-radar Cowboys then, because the only person he's going to be throwing the ball to that everybody knows is Jason Witten.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are on Terrence Williams at 6,300. He's going to be maybe even owned too much. There's three guys here, though, that were 3% or less from this Cowboys attack. One's Joseph Randle. You know how I feel about Joseph Randle. Adam Azer's going to grab a microphone if I say anything bad about him in here. So Cole Beasley at 5,700. And Lance Dunbar was not owned in this contest. Didn't Dunbar lead this team in catches in week one?
He had 8 catches for 70 yards. He looked really good coming out of the backfield. And that's one thing that I like about him is until, whether it's Joseph Randle or Kristen Michael, or if nobody does it. Notice who I didn't mention.
Right.
Until one of them actually becomes a number one running back, Lance Dunbar is going to get all of the passing down work, and I think he could be. Tony Romo likes to make those safe throws, and I think he could be someone with Dez Bryant out that does have a pretty big role. When Tony Romo needed to move the ball down the field last week, he went to Lance Dunbar.
How often do you get to start a running back that's $4,800 that had 8 catches last week and may see his workload increase?
The only if you're going for the sub 5,000, I think Dunbar and Theo Riddick are the two that you can play.
Theo Riddick.
Yeah. Caught a touchdown last
he
week.
He did catch a touchdown last week, but you're the guy. You wrote a blog post in the preseason about these guys scored a bunch, way more touchdowns than they should have based on their touches. So stay away from them this year. Doesn't that apply week to week?
It certainly does.
Okay.
But I'm talking about just a complete punt of the position.
Okay.
Dunbar's a better option.
The other side of this game, the running back situation, very confusing. DeMarco Murray and Darren Sproles both scored right about 16 FanDuel points in week one. Murray's 8,300. Darren Sproles is 5,600. Now, there's going to be a lot of people, not maybe not a lot, but there's going to be people playing DeMarco Murray just because of the revenge game narrative, which is kind of silly. Jamie Eisenberg hates Darren Sproles this week because he says he's not any good outdoors on grass. What do you think about the situation?
I hated it coming into the season. I didn't want any part of it in my yearly leagues. And after week one and seeing how they split the carries and how they split the playing time, if DeMarco Murray had gotten 65, 70% of the snaps, I'd feel a lot better about him. I wouldn't worry about the low yards per carry, the low touches. The fact that he split playing time so evenly really concerns me. He didn't split it evenly with any one person, but Sproles and Matthews both came in for him a fair amount.
Okay, you talked about Lance Dunbar as a punt. Darren Sproles is $800 more, but at $5,600, he's cheaper than almost any other running back you would consider using, and he's my favorite tournament punt of the week.
We saw this last year. He got off to a really good start. Those first two games were incredible. Two touchdowns, 152 receiving yards in that second game after going for 85 total yards in the first. But Jamie's right. He was a lot better when he played indoors on turf than when he played outside. And that second week last year at Indianapolis, as a punt, sure. But are the Eagles ever going to throw the ball 52 times again this season?
Are they going to stop the Cowboys? I mean, that's when we get into game theory again. If you think that the Eagles' defense is going to stop the Cowboys and hold them to 24 points or less, which kind of seems unlikely to me, and it's the highest projected point total of the week.
And both these games were high-scoring last season.
I think it's going to be a track meet. And if it's a track meet, that helps out Darren Sproles a lot. He may not have 16 fantasy points, but if he scores 13 and you paid $5,600 for him, you feel good about that.
Yeah, that's fair. If you're going sub 6,000, I certainly like him more than Ryan Matthews.
And Chris Johnson, I assume.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's move on to our second favorite game of the day. It's New Orleans at home against Tampa Bay. And I've got some issues with the narrative in this one as well. I think you can take advantage of it in so many different ways. The first thing is a couple of different questions. Because everybody believes the Saints are going to blow Tampa Bay out. If Tennessee could do that to them, New Orleans is going to score 400 points at home. So Drew Brees at 8,900 or Mark Ingram at 8,000. And depending on which one of these guys you say, I think tells which narrative you believe.
The one thing I do want to point out, Tampa Bay was nearly as bad as they were in week one last year in week three against the Falcons. They came back the following week and beat a very good Pittsburgh team.
Right.
I want to point that out because everybody's writing off the Buccaneers as this disaster, this complete garbage dumpster fire. So I'm not totally sold that they'll blow them out, but I think you really like Ingram in this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you take Ingram, then you're basically saying the Bucs aren't going to score very much. And I think the other side of that comes down to Cooks is 7,400, and I feel like he fits the Kendall Wright profile better than Brandon Coleman does. He runs a lot of the underneath slant type routes, but Coleman's $5,000 was only owned in 3% of tournament lineups on Thursday. That is the absolute definition of a great tournament play.
What have we seen from Brandon Cooks that suggests he's worth $7,400?
In his career, nothing.
Nothing.
Really?
Like one or two games where he's returned value on that price. And now, it's only 11 games, but we haven't seen it from him. And I don't know. I can't pay up $7,400 for Brandon Cooks. I'm going with Coleman.
And everybody else is paying up. He's the fourth highest owned wide receiver on Thursday. 17.4% at $7,400, just right behind Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and Jordan Matthews. I'm going to have a hard time not putting Coleman on almost every roster.
I agree with you. I think Coleman could just be the new Marcus Colston.
Now, I do like in cash games the idea of playing the Saints defense. They're $4,500, and chances are, even if Jameis is decent, he's going to turn the ball over.
Yes. And I also, that was what we thought coming into the season.
Right. I also like Zach Hawker a lot as a $4,500 kicker at home. You look for kickers that are going to be top 10 and are priced at $4,500, $4,600, somewhere in there. I think Hawker fits that perfectly. You had another kicker that you liked that we'll talk about in just a second in the next game. But the final thing on this game, everybody seems to think that New Orleans' bad defense beats Tampa Bay's bad offense. You're talking about two entities that are not good here. What if it's the other way around? Jameis Winston, 6,600, owned in less than 1% of lineups. Doug Martin, 67, less than 2%. Vincent Jackson, 7,200, less than 1%. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, still 4,500, owned at 5%.
The Seferian-Jenkins one makes sense because he had a really lucky game in week.
Right.
One of his touchdowns was bobbled by a defender. It could have been intercepted before he caught it. He had another pass that was almost intercepted that bounced into his hands.
But he's the highest owned guy on the team.
And I would probably, at 4,500, that makes total sense.
Okay.
I'm a big Vincent Jackson guy. I think Vincent Jackson, and if Mike Evans is completely healthy, I think both of them have a ton of upside. We saw them do well with Josh McCown, and I'm completely blanking on the, who was the dopey backup quarterback for the Buccaneers last year?
The dopey Mike, are you kidding me?
What's that?
How insulting to Mike Glennon. How dare you?
There you go.
How
dare you? He's just kind of a dopey-looking fella.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was the kind of... I mean, I thought we were freeing ourselves from Big Kane 2 and his meanness, and I thought we were going to be an uplifting program.
Look, I just couldn't think of any other way to describe... It's not. I'm not being mean. Look, I'm a dopey-looking fella, too.
That dopey-looking fella... Okay, do you think it's a dopey play to stack the Bucks with this very low ownership? They score 24 points, and you're looking great.
I kind of like the idea of a Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans stack particularly. If Mike Evans is healthy, the Saints are down with their top cornerback, one of their starting safeties.
Right.
They weren't good against the pass last year.
They weren't good against the pass last week. Who was the number one quarterback behind Tom Brady? It was Carson Palmer, right?
There you go. I think we saw Evans and Jackson both do well last season. I don't see why I'm staying away from them. At 15,001 combined, you could probably still fit Antonio Brown or Julio Jones in your lineup with those two guys.
I did get a note passed here that said that Brandon Cooks averaged more than 10 standard fantasy points per game at home last year.
Oh. He had three good games. I just looked it up. He had three games with 75-plus yards and a touchdown.
Right.
But that was pretty much all he did all
season.
Here's
the problem. At 7,400, you need pretty close to 17, 18 fantasy points. Well, 75 and a touchdown, you better have several catches, too. Like, he needs to be really good.
I would gamble on Vincent Jackson going for more than Brandon Cooks this week.
I like Cooks more in cash games, but in a tournament, absolutely, I'd rather have Vincent Jackson. Let's get to our final top game. I want to make sure we have time for our favorite plays and player comparisons. Atlanta at the New York Giants. I was really surprised to see that the Giants are favored in this game and projected to score more points. Are you worried about the Falcons on the road? Because it seems like everybody else is.
They looked... Julio Jones is an unstoppable monster. In that week one game, it was just... I think if he's not the best fantasy receiver this year, I think he's number two and he's really close.
Right.
I'm not worried about where he's playing. I might worry a little bit about maybe Matt Ryan hitting his upside or Roddy White. But Julio Jones, I think he's good enough that I think he can get into the end zone at least once.
Now, he skipped practice twice this week with a sore hamstring. He was hobbling during the game. In fact, he kind of disappeared for a large part of the game, and then they decided they needed him again, and he ran a 40-yard go route and beat everybody on the field.
Yeah.
No concerns at all about his hamstring.
Every lineup I set this week, I want either Julio Jones or Antonio Brown.
Okay.
I'm not worried about the hamstring unless if we get one of those reports on Sunday morning from Jason LaConfora saying that the Browns are planning on using Julio Jones as a decoy and they're planning on running the ball or using Roddy White more, then I'll be concerned. Right now, he's just been limited in practice. I'm not concerned about it.
Okay. This brings me to a really good point then, because what you said, every lineup I have, I want either Julio Jones or Antonio Brown, judging by the ownership percentages. Everyone else agrees with you. They're the two highest owned wide receivers. That makes me wonder. In tournaments, okay, those guys are safer. In cash games, I absolutely want those guys.
Yeah.
In tournaments, I don't know that Julio Jones and Antonio Brown have any higher of an upside than Odell Beckham. They're much, much safer. They're probably more likely to reach that upside. The upside is similar. Beckham is $100 less than Julio, $500 less than Brown. He's owned in, it looks like, 9% of lineups. Yeah. So less than half as owned. Here's the thing. If you play Odell Beckham, and he outscores Julio, and he outscores Antonio Brown,
you're putting yourself in a really good
position. You are ahead of 92% of the field.
Yeah. I get that. I get the game theory.
How do you feel about it, though?
But from a football perspective, I think he's got the toughest matchup of the three. Going against Desmond Trufant, he's one of the few cornerbacks in the league that I think can keep up with Odell Beckham.
And is he somebody that moves around the field and will stay with him? Because there's
not
100%
sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I would imagine that they'll try to get him on Odell Beckham as much as possible.
Okay.
I worry about a hangover with Odell Beckham. Coming into the season, I was worried about it. Week one didn't make me feel great, and it might just be putting a little too much into week one and then the one or two preseason games that he played where him and Eli did not look on the same page. It was concerning, but from a just playing, even because I think when you play daily fantasy, you can almost throw out the actual football analysis to a certain extent and just play. I know this guy's a contrarian play. I know in tournaments, if he goes off, you can do that to a certain extent. So from that perspective, I totally get the logic behind Odell Beckham.
I don't get the logic behind this. Falcons gave up the most fantasy points to running backs in week one. Rashad Jennings is not a bad running back, especially if you don't have to bet on him staying healthy for the next 6 weeks, just for four quarters. He's $6,400 at home in a game where he's favored against a defense that we don't think is great, 1.4% owned.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is Eli Manning going to tell him not to score again this week?
I don't anticipate that happen. I think
his ownership would definitely be a lot higher if he had two touchdowns last week, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of the silly thing with...
Maybe Eli wanted to play him in DFS this week and didn't want his point total to get too high.
I don't think that's allowed.
You don't?
I think that's against the NFLPA rules.
Like Eli Manning cannot play daily fantasy.
I'm pretty sure he's not allowed.
The funny thing is they can play season-long fantasy. They all do. Roddy White talks about how he doesn't play himself if he hasn't practiced that week.
Who was the...
Larry Donnell. Yeah. Didn't score three touchdowns and had himself on his bench. Which, he was the only person in America that even had himself on his own roster at that point.
Yeah, I kind of do like Rashad Jennings. The Falcons did give up a ton of points, but the yards per carry wasn't particularly high. And that's that is one thing to keep in mind, that they actually did shut down the Eagles running game pretty well. And they were
That's true.
This is a team that's had a lot of issues with their front seven over the last couple of years, but they looked really good in week one until they kind of slowed down in the second half, but the pass rush, the running defense was really good.
We got a few minutes here. I want to get to player comparisons. Let's just do a sentence or two from you, and then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Which, oh, okay.
Like I'm the all-knower of things. Carson Palmer, 7,800, or Sam Bradford, 7,500.
Easy Carson Palmer.
I went Palmer, too. You're right. Marshawn Lynch, 8,500, or Jeremy Hill, 8,400.
Marshawn Lynch, he doesn't have a Giovanni Bernard.
And Lynch is my number two running back of the week behind Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram, $8,000.
Well, you kind of gave it away there.
Well, you know what I think. I don't know what you think. Or Justin Forsett, 7,800.
I really like Forsett. The Ravens looked so bad in week one, but I think that might be more about the Broncos, but I still think it's Mark Ingram.
Give me the argument for Justin Forsett.
He was awesome last season. Right. I think he's a good running back. they don't really have any other options. Like, this is a team that's pretty much depleted of, especially in the passing game, where he could, it wouldn't surprise me to see him catch eight passes.
DeAndre Hopkins, 8,100, or A.J. Green, 8,100?
Man, A.J. Green's getting cheap. In season-long, I thought he was underrated coming into the season. I'll go A.J. Green.
Yeah, I think you have to go A.J. Green. And Josh Norman shut down Allen Robinson. Now, it's different to shut down Allen Robinson than it is to shut down DeAndre Hopkins, but yes, he is somebody that kind of moved around the field and stayed with Robinson. I think that's going to make Hopkins' life harder, even if Ryan Mallett makes it a little bit better. I like A.J. Green, especially in those tournament lineups where I start Andy Dalton, too. Dante Moncrief, 6,000, everybody's darling. Or Larry Fitzgerald, 5,900.
I wanted to say Moncrief. He played 74% of their snaps in week one.
He's new and shiny.
But the big thing is we don't know if Hilton's going to play. Hilton seems to think he might play.
Yeah. It's gamesmanship, I think.
And yeah, but they're that small, even whatever percentage you give it, mm-hmm, you obviously have to discount Moncrief if Hilton plays, so I'll go with Fitzgerald.
In cash games, I definitely want Fitzgerald, yeah, for sure.
Palmer looked to him a lot last week.
Yeah, he's going to continue to. Greg Olsen, $6,000, or Tyler Eifert, $5,900.
Olsen. You wanna... as great as Eifert was, Olsen had 86 catches last season.
This is where the people that are just completely overvaluing what happened in week one. Ownership percentage for these two. Tyler Eifert, the fourth highest and third highest that didn't play on Thursday night, at 12%. Greg Olsen owned in 3% of lineups. That's basically crazy. The same price, and everybody's choosing Eifert over Olsen.
That's crazy.
And you'll remember, Travis Kelce had this great week last week. Who was that against? The Houston Texans. That's who Greg Olsen faces this week.
Yeah, that's crazy. I get the concerns about the Panthers. Right. God, Michael Ower is going against J.J. Watt this week. That's going to be a disaster.
That sounds fun.
But Greg Olsen's still the top target. They threw the ball 32 times. I don't think he's going to have another one-catch game all season.
Okay, our favorite plays. I'm going to let you say your favorite plays. If yours is the same as mine, then I'll say my second favorite. Quarterback.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck is your favorite play at quarterback this week.
I know the Jets have a very good secondary. Andrew Luck at home in prime time. I think it's a 3-touchdown game.
I'm going to go with Carson Palmer. Okay. And I think that'd probably be your second favorite. He will be more highly owned than Luck, though, so Luck might be a better play in a tournament. Okay, give me your top two running backs.
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
I really like Lamar Miller this week.
Oh, wow. He did not make my top 14.
Wow. Wow. What are you doing?
Are they going to give them the ball more than six times?
Yes.
They are.
Yes, of course.
How is this any different?
Last week went poorly for the Dolphins. They had some bad... This is you overreacting to week one.
Tell me why.
They had this... By DVOA from Football Outsiders, they had the second most efficient running game in the league last season.
Uh-huh.
Lamar Miller, yeah, he had, what, three carries in the first half last week? They went to him a lot more later. That game was just weird. I don't think we're going to see the Dolphins struggle with the Jaguars the way they struggled with Washington last week.
I think the Jaguars might be better than Washington.
I don't think that.
you don't believe that?
I think Washington has a good running defense. It's kind of the only thing they do well. I don't see... The Dolphins had, what, three turnovers in the first half last week? At least two? I don't see the game going that way.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've got him behind Lance Dunbar. I should move him up a little
bit. It's a similar thing that I look at with the Eagles last week, where they passed the ball so much. The Dolphins aren't quite the Eagles in that the Dolphins are a pass-first team.
Right.
But I think they use the pass to set up the run. And that it was just the flow of the game went wrong.
Okay, Marshawn Lynch was my number two running back. So I'll go with number one, Mark Ingram, and number three, Jeremy Hill. Favorite two wide receivers?
I already said Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, but that's kind of
That's fine.
It's cheating. I mean,
you're a cheater.
Those are the guys.
Okay. Take the easy way out.
I've got a couple lineups with both. I feel so good about the both of them.
You should feel dirty for cheating. No. Okay. Brandon Coleman is my third favorite wide receiver this week. Now, again, these aren't projections like I'm saying he's going to score the third most number of fantasy points. But
the return on investment.
$5,000? Good gosh. And then Jordan Matthews, he's the third highest owned wide receiver. I think he might be the safest in terms of return on investment. He should have been even better last week. He's $400 less than Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. Okay, your favorite tight end?
I also do want to – the Keenan Allen and Steven Johnson combination either way if you want to go with them. I think they're both – Keenan Allen is properly priced. I think Stevie Johnson's underpriced at $5,700.
They're not in my top 20.
They're not in your top
20?
Tell me
20? I'm ridiculous.
I know you – you're a Bengals guy. What is this? You love you some Bengals.
I am not a Bengals.
You're a Marvin Lewis disciple. I think that's what it is.
You are
the Andy Dalton guy.
Yeah.
You're going away. I think the Chargers are going to throw the ball 40 times again this week.
Okay.
I don't think they trust their running game yet. I love what Keenan Allen did last week, and he's not that highly owned, 7.4%. And Stevie Johnson's 5.8.
I'm not sure if he can bounce back from the helmet head slam as quickly as Amari Cooper did. Pac-Man Jones is coming at him.
And that's why I said I like Stevie Johnson even more.
Right.
We forget this guy was a really good receiver in Buffalo with not a lot of help around
him. He had Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He was a really good receiver in Buffalo without a lot of help around him. I think he's a really good fit in San Diego's offense.
Let's get to tight end.
He's a better version of the Eddie Royal, Malcolm Floyd combination they had last year.
Favorite tight end?
Heath Miller.
$5,400
is ridiculously undervaluing Heath Miller.
I'm going to go with kind of a similar pick, I think, and it's Jason Witten. Same reason. He's going to get so many targets.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Roethlisberger has Antonio Brown. Witten's the only guy that Tony Romo trusts besides Lance Dunbar.
Yeah.
In that offense. So I think Witten's
the only problem with Jason Witten is I'm not sure he runs a route longer than 7 yards anymore.
Well, that's okay. It's not like they're going to double cover him because they don't have any other weapons in the offense. Maybe I don't like Jason Witten that much. I do like Martellus Bennett a lot, too.
But Arizona struggled against tight ends. They blitz a ton on defense, and that leaves the middle of the field open for tight ends. They've had trouble with them for a long time. And in the same vein, I think Jordan Cameron against the Jaguars has a pretty good chance.
I said I was going to play 100 lineups this week, Chris. How many lineups are you going to play?
Three? I'm not.
So you're more confident in your selections than I am.
No, I'm just not. I'm not so crazy with the 100 lineups thing.
Okay.
It's not. It's nothing. I'm not trying to brag.
Right.
It's just 100 lineups. That's a lot of clicking. And I got like the carpal tunnel issue. Okay. I don't know if I can click that much.
We didn't quite make it in 30 minutes, which is what our original goal was. But I
don't think there was any expectation of that.
We're best, and hopefully you had no expectations. We're best when there are no expectations put on us.
I've never said anything but that about myself.
Okay. That will do it for the Week 2 edition of the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. Hopefully you thought it was great, and you'll join us next week.
That's it.